how have we seen various forms of misconduct going unseen in the legal profession for, well, I would think many, many years?
Yes, unfortunately, I'd agree with that. I think it's a good question. I think people within the industry, a lot of us know that this sort of behaviour has been going on and has been largely been going on without consequences to the people perpetrating the sexual harassment or bullying, and it has been happening for a long time. I think that, you know, the legal industry in Australia is, in a lot of parts, is still very hierarchical and traditional, and it tends to protect people in power. And those are perhaps some factors leading to why this sort of behaviour, this sort of misconduct, hasn't been brought publicly to light in the way that it is being brought to light now.
And to be clear, what kinds of misconduct are we talking about? What do we see as most prevalent, I guess, in the legal profession?
So I'm an employment lawyer at a community legal centre, and we give legal advice and representation to people who have been sexually harassed in the workplace. And look, we see a whole spectrum of misconduct going on that people are coming to talk to us about. It could be, you know, sexual comments in the workplace, right up to behaviour that's sort of the sort of behaviour that would be reported to the police. So making someone feel threatened in any way, physical sexual assault or indecent assault. So there's a whole spectrum of misbehaviour, and it's misbehaviour is probably a weak word to use in relation to a lot of that. And it's not, you know, there's the sexual harassment side of things, which has really come to light with the allegations against Dyson Heydon in the High Court. But there is other sort of misconduct that happens, a lot of bullying and racism, harassment for other reasons as well.
You touched on how some in the profession will kind of rally around sort of the style of the infamous boys' clubs we sometimes talk about. But how have the structures of legal professions kind of insulated the misconduct on the inside from regulatory eyes?
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple of answers to that. The first point I would want to make is that there aren't a lot of regulatory bodies that have the power to investigate this kind of thing. So there's not one body in Australia that goes out and investigates sexual harassment. The burden is really on people who have been sexually harassed to make complaints to one of the anti-discrimination bodies. So the main one is the Australian Human Rights Commission. And one thing that we would call for is for the Human Rights Commission to have more power and funding to undertake investigations itself and to play that role of really going and, where there's a pattern of complaints, carrying out investigations and looking at the issue more systemically. So that's one issue, that it really is individual complainants that have to take action at the moment rather than there being a systemic approach to the issue. Inside the industry itself, I think there are also factors which have kept the issue hidden. So, for example, if you look at the structure in the courts, you know, judges have traditionally had young lawyers who work for them, usually just for about a year or two, and those young lawyers are expected to, you know, perform a whole range of roles, from picking up the dry cleaning to doing legal research. And because they're in the job for a short amount of time and it's really seen as a ticket to future career progression, I think there's a lot of pressure on the young lawyers who do those jobs to put up with whatever happens in the workplace and, get the letter of recommendation at the end and not speak up. And there also aren't very good reporting pathways in a lot of those parts of the industry. So if something does happen, who do you talk to? I mean, the judge is kind of your supervisor and your boss and the chief of their own little fiefdom in a way. So it can be very hard to speak up in those circumstances.
Well, obviously, a difficult one. Some mechanisms, obviously, there are that could be put in place. Tess, do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Thanks so much, Sean. Thanks.